From Montreal, Canada, it's the Travel World Radio Show.
All aboard!
Yeah! Travel World. Liberty Works Radio Network.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number. Ooh! Who's that
baby?
Ah, yes. And the Crazy Boys are back. It's Will and Beck. It's Stephen Pickford in beautiful Brattleboro, Vermont.
Steve. Good morning.
Yeah.
Having our traditional April trip to Vermont. It's part of our tradition. Should be
year.
Part of yours as well as we enter year number five on Travel World. It was 4 years ago, April 1997, that we first took to the airwaves on the old CIQC AM 600 in Montreal.
Mm-hmm, definitely. It's an anniversary for us, and now we're on the Liberty Works Network across America.
And glad to be here down in Brattleboro, enjoying the best of hospitality in southeastern Vermont on the banks of the Connecticut River. And joined now with the pleasure of the company of Kevin McElhinney, the Executive Director of the Brattleboro Area Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, gentlemen, and happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. And you know what about this place? Wherever we go, people have told us this particular weekend, oh, you came during the least attractive part of our season. Why did you come down this particular time? And I'm telling you, well, if this is the least attractive, it's some more beautiful area to go.
Oh, the mountains and the... it's just the rejuvenation of spring. You get that feeling. It's a nice spring day here in Vermont. And
it costs us a lot of money to order up this weather for you, too.
Big budget operation.
But we do appreciate it.
And we're staying at the Latches Hotel, and that is a gem in downtown Brattleboro.
They don't make them like that anymore. One of the few Art Deco buildings in Vermont, and I hope you had an opportunity to go to the Grill and to see their movie theater as well.
Yes, we ate at the Grill. Excellent maple glazed pork tenderloin, creamy whipped potatoes. The food was excellent at the Latches Grill. It's one of only two truly Art Deco buildings in the state of Vermont, and it's beautifully restored. It's a gem.
And one of the last old-style movie palaces, and right now there's a community-wide effort purchase the entire complex and turn it into a performing arts center while still operating it as a hotel and a grill and as a movie theater.
Yeah, the movie theater thing, because in this day and age of everybody and his brother trying to do all the new and whatnot, it is kind of nice to see something that is rather old-fashioned, but just the way you remember it. We walked into this theater and I mean, I had to walk into
The lobby is a better show than most movies nowadays.
Oh, it was great.
And you can
Absolutely.
See on the ceiling the mural, Apollo driving his chariot across the sky and Bacchus frolicking above your head with a bevy of wood nymphs. Now, that's I would like to see.
Now, that's inspiration when you're up in the balcony with a date.
Yes, true inspiration.
Yeah, Bacchus frolicking with the nymphs, huh?
You wish.
Oh, yeah. There's Stephen and his reputation.
My reputation precedes me, and it is right here this morning as well. Now, downtown Brattleboro, it's a vibrant downtown.
It really is, and the beauty is that we've managed to maintain most of the older buildings here. If you look at old photographs of Brattleboro from the late 19th and early 20th century, with the exception of the cars and the streetlights, it's the same, and pavement. But most of the beautiful red brick buildings are still here, and some of the less attractive ones have been converted to better uses lately. I'm just looking outside our window here, and maybe if you want to turn camera two out to the...
I'm moving the
webcam,
microphone
yes.
So people
yes.
can see it, yeah.
Out to that new building right there. That's called the River Garden. And that had been a particularly unattractive chain drugstore and a local group. Purchased it, remodeled it, and we're really making an effort to open up the downtown to the Connecticut River and let people see
number of little cafes going in there, and the atrium lobby brings in the sunlight no matter what time of the year, and then in a week or so opening up that terrace overlooking the Connecticut River.
And it just enhances the reputation of Brattleboro as a beautiful walking city, a beautiful walking downtown, yep. bookstores, restaurants, bakery. You'll be at, I think, Amy's Bakery for lunch.
Yeah.
Great restaurants. Peter Havens, you'll be
for the
having dinner. And it's just a great place to walk around, enjoy the fresh air, enjoy the scenery. We're in the site of beautiful Mount Wantasticat, and we're really proud that we offer all of Vermont close to home, that within a half hour here you can have the full Vermont experience of mountains and skiing and cows and maple syrup, but still come to a fairly sophisticated and cosmopolitan area downtown to have a nice dinner and nice bottle of wine.
I was impressed with the variety of stores and their emphasis on local artisans and quality handicrafts.
There's some beautiful shops. Vermont Artisan Designs right here on Main Street really offers the best of some of the region's, Vermont's and New England's top artisans. And there are a lot of stores for when we say all of Vermont close to home, there's a real hometown feeling that you still come here, and there are a half dozen independent, locally owned bookstores. There are still two independent drugstores right next door to us. We have a hardware store that still has everything you could possibly want. You step in there, you feel like you're a kid again.
It's bigger inside than it looks outside.
Yes, it is. It used to be an old Montgomery Ward department store years ago.
Oh,
in
wow.
fact, where we are now in the chamber office used to be the A&P back in the 30s.
And we ate breakfast this morning at Bickford's, which was an old Howard Johnson's restaurant. They still have the spire on the roof.
Yep.
And I think it looks like they're 1934, 1935 at the Rotary. And you get breakfast all day, omelets,
and
pancakes.
And Bickford's, like most of the rest of Brattleboro, is just it's got the nice hometown, off-the-beaten-track feeling, but you're very close to Interstate 91. It is extremely accessible from the north, from Montreal, or from the Boston, New York, U.S. Northeast.
And Amtrak serves here as well?
Yes, the Amtrak Vermonter. You can take the train all the way from Washington or New York or Hartford, Connecticut, and take it all the way up to St. Albans and make a bus connection to Montreal.
That's right. Folks in Westminster, Maryland, such as Bonnie, could have joined us here.
She could have just walked right across the street from the Amtrak station at, say, the old Brattleboro station, the Brattleboro Museum.
It's a museum and art center, and the train station itself is going to be improved and enhanced over the next few years to make it a little more comfortable for everybody who's taking the train trip.
And walk right across the street to the Latchis Hotel. Our first morning in Brattleboro, just waking up, going to the Riverview Cafe and taking in the sight
of... view.
Oh, it's the view, panoramic view, entire look at the Connecticut River. Fast moving at this time of year.
And in just a couple of weeks, anybody that comes up can enjoy actually riding on the Connecticut River on the Belle of Brattleboro. And it's always a pleasant sight while dining at the Riverview Cafe, looking out across the balcony and seeing the Belle of Brattleboro come downstream.
It's almost like a museum inside the Riverview Cafe with the pictures of where it was situated, the island.
The old island park,
which
is sort of a few tall trees at this time of year, with most of the island overrun by water.
That's just what gets me about all of Brattleboro, is that people are retaining the past and still moving on into the future, and people getting involved in their community.
It's true, because while it maintains the old hometown flavor, there are a lot of people who live here, and I include myself among them, who came here, came to visit, fell in love with the place, and decided to locate here.
And we'll be continuing with more about Brattleboro and Southern Vermont on Travel World Across America on the Voice of Truth in Broadcasting, the Liberty Works Radio Network, on the net at www.libertyworksradio.com.
Join us again following that. Did you just say people who care in your community? Across America via satellite.
You guys are insane.
Travel World Radio Show.
Good evening. It's 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm Steve Myers in Washington. Also joining in our discussion, resident historian Tom Mathis.
The Constitution Party and Libertarian Party do agree on the need to strictly limit federal power and eliminate the income tax.
I like those first words, Congress shall make no law.
What would you be doing about the Middle East and about securing it?
Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, changing the way you think about news.
This is the NewsHour. 60 minutes of news and comment from Liberty Works Radio.
It's a fact. More and more vehicle accidents are being blamed on the use of cell phones while driving. Some states have made it illegal to use a phone while driving unless it's equipped with a hands-free speakerphone. That's why we developed the Navigator Hands-Free Kit that turns your cell phone into a speakerphone. It even powers and charges, and you can move it between vehicles without expensive adapters or installation. The Navigator Hands-Free Kit is a snap to install and incredibly easy to use with your Motorola StarTAC or Nokia 5100 or 6100 series cellular phones. Call 1-800-695-7698 now. Order the Navigator Hands-Free Kit for only $69.95. An optional universal kit is available for most other phones without the charger for $49.95. Call 1-800-695-7698 now. If not satisfied, return it within 90 days for a full, no-questions-asked refund. At $69.95, the Navigator is much less expensive than the adapters cell phone companies want to sell you. Call 1-800-695-7698 now.
I can read. Three little words parents and grandparents long to hear. I can read. The key that unlocks a lifetime of opportunity. I can read. The road to independence, pride, and self-discovery. Every day, thousands of children struggle needlessly. Every day. Reading remains the goal, not the reality.
If you're looking for a powerful but simple-to-use home study program that goes beyond a game that hooks children on reading, you want Get Ready, Get Set, Read. Developed by a team of leading educational learning and reading specialists, the Get Ready, Get Set, and Read program guides, inspires, and integrates the best approaches for maximum success and reading results. Make a difference. Call toll-free 1-888-813-7975. Mention the station for a 40% discount. Get Ready, Get Set, Read has an unconditional 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 1-888-813-7975. 1-888-813-7975. Call today.
Overweight? Tried to lose weight? Find it impossible? You should know that dieting will never work because there is no such thing as willpower. According to the Federal Center for Disease Control, the concept that willpower will lead to weight loss is a myth and responsible for a sharp increase in obesity. There are hardcore dieters that have gone through life-threatening procedures, such as stomach stapling and liposuction. It's all unnecessary. Fat Destroyer, a new easy-to-take herbal supplement, will eliminate fat, ugly cellulite, and a fat gut safely with no hunger pangs at all. Fat Destroyer naturally burns away fat. A miracle. Fat Destroyer is based on research done at Harvard University and other leading research centers, and even written up in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Lose weight the only way that works. To try Fat Destroyer risk-free through this special radio offer, call 1-800-851-5313. To achieve your weight loss goals, don't delay. Call 1-800-851-5313. That's 1-800-851-5313.
Travel World.
Friends sharing travel information with friends.
Travel World.
A delightful menu as well.
Yeah.
Very unique way to serve dessert. It was kind of a concoction that would look like ice cream but melted, but it was served in a flower pot.
Yeah, it looked like a potted plant.
And it came in a ceramic pot, a little edible flowers planted at the top. It was the crushed cookies on top looked like soil. I thought actually they were serving me a pile of dirt. Say, here, eat your meal.
Travel World.
Maximize the enjoyment of travel.
Saturdays, 12 noon Eastern on Liberty Works Radio.
Just got home from Illinois. Locked the front door, oh boy. Got to sit down, take a rest on the porch. Imagination sets in. Pretty soon I'm singing.
Welcome back to that country down-home feeling you get here in beautiful Brattleboro, Vermont. It's Will and Backus with Stephen Pickford, Carl Mansovilano. From the Adams Family Farm here in Wilmington, Vermont, just outside of Brattleboro.
One of the many attractions that you can visit when you're in Brattleboro and all of southern Vermont. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. How you guys doing? Nice seeing you again.
It was a pleasure to have toured the Adams Farm yesterday.
Yeah, there was a lot of animals that were awful happy to see you yesterday, too.
They're welcoming members of the family.
And a few that were quite nervous, too.
They said, oh, no, it's those guys. We've heard about them.
Yeah.
Nah, not him.
Yeah, well, being lambing season, there's an awful lot of friendly little animals running around there. Now, you guys got a chance to feed the bottle, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
They came running to you, and some of them would butt each other out of the way to get at the bottle and then just leave you alone afterwards.
You know, part of Steve sat in the corner drinking it himself.
I thought that was a free refreshment.
Yeah, thank you.
Wonder why the lamb was pushing me out of the way. Get your own bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. One of the things that makes your farm and your place unique is it's a real operating farm. Yeah. You and it's your wife, actually, Jill, who is descended from the Adams family line. Mm-hmm. And, no, we didn't make that joke.
Well. But
the serious thing is that it's a real farm. Mm-hmm. You're keeping the lifestyle. And you're thinking of creative ways of making the farm work for you to earn a living on the farm. You're planning to have tea sessions. You have sleigh rides. Mm-hmm. You sell some maple syrup every now and then. Mm-hmm. You also have another product. You're making soap.
Yeah.
And you shear sheep. You make your own wool.
Mm-hmm.
And it amazes me. And your wife was conducting a demonstration of spinning yarn from you have an Angora rabbit.
Right.
And it looked like a big fluffy pillow that you were holding at the time. It was a very well-natured rabbit. You come up to Steve and say, you're afraid of an animal, and you went, bah.
Well, I wanted to get a rise out of him. He wasn't laughing hard.
Oh, he jumped. That was good.
Which end of the rabbit am I touching?
Well, I would have jumped too. Yeah. But the thing is, then it was a real rabbit, very nice and calm. And she's sitting next to the spinning wheel. And it's drawing in the thread, and I just see you going, oh, no, the rabbit is going to be drawn into the spinning wheel. But believe it or not, she takes little handfuls, and you can spin that. I'm quite pleased that I learned that I could spin my dog's, golden retriever dog's hair into yarn, because now I'm going to make $1 million selling yarn. My dog produces
there you go.
For two factories.
You learn something every time.
Yeah. There's so many different animals you can harvest fiber from. The Angora rabbits are exceptional. I mean,
really?
Pound for pound, they give us more fiber than anybody else on the farm. We raise the Merino sheep.
Mm-hmm.
We raise llamas and alpacas and, of course, mohair, the Angora goats. And
what most people don't realize is this used to be, Vermont used to be the sheep capital of the world.
Yep. It was back in the 1840s,
50s,
Merinos outnumbered Vermonters 6-1.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Millions of Merino sheep covered the landscape here.
And that for that reason, 80% of the landscape was really pasture land.
Right.
It was not the forest that we see today. It has gone the reverse to 20% open land, 80% forest today.
It was a very big impact on the landscape here in Vermont. After the Civil War, the sheep migrated out west. In fact, the very first train load to go across the Golden Spike.
Promontory Point in Utah.
Right.
That's right.
The very first train was full of Merino sheep from Madison County.
Oh, my goodness.
And from here, they went to Australia on the steamships. And remember the old cowboy movies?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, here come the sheep.
Oh, yeah.
Those were the Vermonters moving out west, coming over the horizon with tens of thousands of sheep terrorizing the nation.
You see these movies in a whole different light now.
Oh, sure.
They're historically accurate. What the breed you've got now on the farm is historically accurate.
Yes, we've been able to trace the bloodlines back to the original Merinos. Now, what happened was is the Merinos were developed in Spain back in the early days, and to a point where it was the finest wool in the world. And in Spain, they didn't want anybody to have any of this. They wanted a monopoly. So they issued a penalty of death to any Spaniard caught selling a Merino out of the country.
Oh, good.
But to finance the war of 1812, the Spanish royal family sold its personal flock to Lisbon. And the ambassador to Lisbon, Portugal at the time, was Jarvis from here in Vermont.
Okay.
And I'm not quite sure if
not
it was...
Not Jarvis,
No. Jarvis. I don't know if it was hook or crook, but that entire flock ended up here in Vermont.
It was a conspiracy even then.
Yep. And they flourished here in this area.
Oh, yes. And, you're one of those...
Oh, yeah, definitely. I particularly enjoyed it because it was real operating. And in fact, you had all the goats and the baby goats, the kids, who were running around.
Yeah.
On haystacks, bouncing around and having a grand old time.
Well, you've got to have a haystack where we are, because this is the Haystack Mouse Snow Valley. And we've got this giant mountain right in the middle of the whole operation called Haystack. And it's a ski area now. And a lot of people come up for the skiing. We also have a place called Mount Snow for the skiing.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like to take a moment and mention to the people that Mount Snow's real name is Mount Pisgah.
Mount Pisgah.
Yeah. And it was purchased by this fellow 50 years ago to turn into a ski area. And nobody thought that Pisgah had that come scheme-y sound to it.
No.
So they ended up naming the mountain after the farmer who owned the land in the first place. His name was Reuben Snow. And, of course, Haystack Mountain is named after a pile of animal food. So, I mean, it's an agricultural community. And people seem to forget that when they come up skiing. And when they come to the farm and we show them the views looking back at it, we'd like to give them a sense of place and time.
Yeah, but more than just a living history farm, this is a real farm. And I like that. You earn your living with what you do on the farm.
Yeah, yeah.
You come in there, and it's unpretentious. You walk there, you're in your work clothes, mm-hmm. you do what you do. And it's obvious you know what you're talking about with all the stuff that you have there. He even has it's like a cutaway from an old tree that you had.
Mm-hmm. That was interesting.
With
yes.
little plugs on it, and what these are the healed wounds from the maple tree.
Correct.
That this came from, and you can tell by the date that the tree was cut down and counting the rings that you can tell when mm-hmm. the tree was tapped for syrup.
Yep, yeah, it's a wonderful history on the farm. You see, I married the farmer's daughter. And the family has been, you know, there since before Vermont was a state. My kids are ninth generation now.
Oh, my goodness.
And the trees are as old as the family. And by working the land all these years, they've left wounds from tapping
right.
in these old trees. And as the trees have grown, they've left behind the scars. And like you say, it's a wonderful reference point to look at the history of agriculture and the different evolution that it's taken.
Over the years, you've kept meticulous records. The previous farmers have kept records on everything
sure.
for 150
well, you
years.
You don't know if you're doing good or bad unless you can look up last year and see how many gallons of sap you got or how
sure.
many board feet or compare yourself to great-grandpa or whatever.
Still.
So records are very important in agriculture.
What I think you come away from the Adams Farm with that, it's very hard to leave without a smile on your face
oh,
or enjoying yourself
yeah.
and taking an hour or two
yeah.
to just relax, get back to a simpler age.
Well, what we've tried to do is, this is my wife's idea, is to give people a sense of what it was like growing up on the farm for her.
Yeah.
To take the eggs out from under the chickens.
Yeah, you want your eggs, go get them.
That's right, pretty much. You know, to actually participate in the harvesting of the wool or the spinning, to
sure.
participate in the boiling of the sap and, you know, making maple syrup, or the making of the soap from the goat's milk.
Tell us about that bio thing. There was a mat as we walked
sure,
in.
Sure, sure.
I mean, was that just a gag because
no,
it was
no,
rain
no,
and
no.
it was a flooded mat and say, hey, let's
no,
get the city folk?
We are in the era of, you know, biosecurity.
Okay.
And agriculture has to be aware of bacteria and stuff that may be carried instantly
okay.
by people from one farm to another.
Oh.
So that's a foot bath. And
okay.
that just, as you walk through it, it decontaminates.
What do
anything
you have
you
in there?
It's actually a 1% solution of bleach.
Oh, okay, so it's
yeah.
just...
Like it's okay if you fall in it or anything like that.
Well, it won't hurt you.
No, no. You're going to be seeing that a lot in your state fairs and
sure.
animal livestock years. It's just a way of decontaminating and starting some biosecurity so things aren't transmitted.
Well, it was curious for us to see, and these are little touches that we do notice as we walk in. We see
can't be too careful. Now, when you mentioned earlier that you're starting a sort of a afternoon tea
oh,
service,
yeah.
when does that start?
Yeah, well, pretty soon. Of course, the snow is still up there on the field. We're at 1,800 foot elevation. We got to have some green grass. So we have a border collie going to be herding sheep around a afternoon tea. It will be serving Vermont products and cheeses and maple, of course. And it'll be our opportunity to have a celebration of Vermont products and agriculture.
So soon people can come up and touch the green grass of home.
That's right.
Very good. The memories.
Well, it's just the Green Mountain
yesterday
State,
and today.
It is green. When it's not real white, it's real green. You know?
Or muddy.
Well, yeah, it's a little
but
bit in between right now.
This is still a beautiful... We prefer this time of the
yeah.
year to come down. It's, you know, winter is releasing
yeah.
its grasp, and
yeah.
summer and spring are on their way, so
yeah.
this for us.
Well, you know, being at this elevation, it's a great place to have sleigh ride business because we have more snow than anything else.
Just the last snow winter a couple of weeks ago or within the last
fantastic.
Week.
This year, actually, there was a couple times there was too much snow to do sleigh rides. It was
Really?
Yeah. Too much snow for sleigh rides. I don't imagine there'd ever be too much snow for sleigh rides.
Well, the horses are only about 6 feet tall, so...
At
the shoulders.
have to watch. They don't get overpowered by the by the amount of snow. No.
And how many animals do you actually have?
There's a couple of hundred on the farm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Most all of them are for fiber. That's one of our main crops is processing the wool right into sweaters, hats, and mittens on the farm.
And you can buy a lot of the products in your gift shop.
My wife said we got it online now too
at adamsfamilyfarm.com for all the information on the Adams Farm in Wilmington, Vermont.
Yeah, I haven't seen the site, but I understand it's kind of nice.
True ecotourism, and I admire this man who has not been near a computer for a while. You're better off, trust me.
Well, somebody has to feed the animals. Yeah. My wife is so good at it.
I have to get out there on the land. Well, Carl Mansilvano from Adams Farm, Wilmington, Vermont. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
We'll continue with more about Southern Vermont on the Travel World Radio Show. Stay listening.
Across America via satellite.
Thunder the Banshee.
What the hell is a banshee?
Seek help.
Travel World Radio Show.
It was in the early 70s through the early 80s. I skied at Stratton, and coming from I was in school in Boston then, and I was living in Boston. And coming from Boston, you had to go on Route 30, and I think I got most of the speeding tickets that I've ever gotten in my life in Newfane. Newfane was more or less a speed bump for me on the way to Stratton, and. Other than being pulled over in front of the country store there, I never knew the four columns existed until 1993. I was working at an inn in New Hampshire, the Chesterfield Inn, and they were good friends with the owners of the Four Columns Inn. And at that time, the inn wasn't for sale, but they said, go up and take a look at it. And they knew I was looking for an inn, and I went up and looked at it, and I did the very thing that they tell you not to do when you're looking for an inn, is I fell in love with the property before I ever looked at the books.
Wow.
Wise business decision. Number one lesson when you take the MBA program.
Exactly.
Let your heart rule, not the pocketbook.
Well, right? Actually, my wife, Pam, was halfway through her MBA program when we moved up here. I probably should have let her finish.
Yes. What? You did what?
What makes the Four Columns Inn stand apart from a lot of other inns is the dining room.
The dining room is excellent. The chef there, Greg Parks, he's been there for, in fact, on May 7th, I don't know the exact date, but that's the date that I use. May 7th, he will have been there for 26 years. And,
oh, wow. 26.
That's never, ever happens in a country inn. And for the first 7 years that he was at the inn, he was working with the previous owner, the first owner of the inn, who was a classically trained French chef.
Ooh.
And Greg basically worked with him for 7 years before taking over as head chef. So he got a
We had some delicious black Angus beef there yesterday.
Oh, it's an excellent meal. And the sweet and sour dipping sauce, roast potatoes, and the atmosphere of the room. It is old New England style.
It is. It's a hard room. When we first got there, it was. It's basically a 40-foot square, with no walls or dividers or anything. So it's pretty hard to decorate that so that it looks at all interesting. But
if you're looking for nice architecture, it's still beautiful to look at.
Oh yeah, no, it is. And my job was to leave my wife Pam alone and let her decorate.
That's right. We've learned.
Oh yes, you knew not to interfere, otherwise you'd be hearing it till this day.
I could tell her, you know, where I thought windows should be, and then she would say, "Okay, fine, you leave," and
that you do it her way.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Or she'd say, "Okay, fine," and you wouldn't hear from her for a week.
Well, eventually things got done, but
yeah,
and that's always.
And I stay completely away from colors, because I have varying shades of blue pants, which I call black.
Yes,
and
yes.
She says, no.
You're going to wear that with what?
Yeah.
People come specifically to eat at the Four Columns, and you don't have to be a guest.
We're open every night except for Tuesday, and it's public dining. We do get a fair number of people from around the local area and some, you know, from as far away as Springfield.
I would imagine so. You probably won. Have you won any awards with the chef there?
Yeah, well, the restaurant for the last 14 years, excuse me, has won the Four Diamond Award from AAA, and in 1999 we went down to New York to the James Beard House.
Ooh.
Which incidentally was a block away from where I lived in New York, and I walked by it every day going to the subway or walking to work. And 10 years ago, if you had asked me if I'd ever be there professionally putting on a dinner, I would have said no.
Whoever said that was a nut.
It was crazy. Yes, exactly. So
that's us. Crazy.
But,
the inn itself has how many rooms?
It has 15 rooms, and when we first arrived there, we've reconstructed most. It's two buildings, and the front building has the Four Columns, thus the name. And legend has it that the original owner built it in the Greek Revival style to pay homage to his southern wife.
Yes, it does have that sort of southern
plantation style
exactly.
to it. All you need is the hanging moss and...
well, we need a few live oaks and some Spanish moss.
Ooh.
And a little longer growing season.
Well, this is all available in AstroTurf.
Come in the middle of February and, the green lawn only. You're at the Four Columns Inn. How do you keep your lawn so green?
Good to touch the AstroTurf of home.
We actually get those guys that spray the paint on the side of the highway just before... the grass comes in. No, it actually, one of the things, you were talking about renewal before.
Yes.
And this time of year, we don't have as many guests as we do at other times of the year, but this is one of the most beautiful times of year to be in Vermont.
Finally, someone who agrees with us. I agree.
And the mud season really, it lasts until the frost goes away. And then the water has some place to go.
For sure, yeah.
And people looking for a romantic getaway doesn't need any time of year to create romance.
No. And when we did upgrade the inn, we went from having basically two working fireplaces to 11 fireplaces now and six luxury suites, which
like wood burning or gas burning?
Gas burning. Yeah, my insurance guy said no.
You have to ask.
No to wood burning. Oh, yes, of course.
But
no,
there are country inns that do have the wood burning, so it's worth it to mention that. Still, it's quite a beautiful look to it. Yesterday, we had also made it out in Newfane. There's we had lunch at another.
Oh yes, the Chestnut Valley Inn.
That's right.
Another place where we stopped off for lunch. And
we learned about the trampoline next
door. Oh, the trampoline next door and the dog, yes.
I just got to digress for about 20 seconds about that, because there was a gentleman from Ontario who came to help his brother out at this place, and we asked him about the family with the trampoline next door, and all he said was, oh, that damn thing. And we're going, we want to hear this story. You just proceed it that way. And it's that down-home feel of the entire area. Newfane, of course, the midpoint of the legendary West River Railroad, which we will go exploring today.
We'll be looking at that this afternoon and talking about that on next week's show. So that puts you in a good position if you're a rail buff to stay at the Four Columns Inn. Also good location heading down to Wilmington. We talked about the Adams Family Farm, but there's also the Memorial Hall Center for the Arts with a full annual program to... make yourself aware of, 1900s theater, which dominated the downtown area of many a local town, and head over to Grafton for the restored
cheese
at the cheese factory and the restored little village, Grafton Village, which has come into its own since around 1963-64 when the Wyndham Foundation decided to take over most of the buildings and restore them because it was a depressed town. I've seen pictures in Yankee Magazine, 1964-65. There was really nothing there. It was almost practically deserted.
Right.
And their cheese is excellent.
Oh, the cheese.
It really is.
Starts off from Jersey cows. I mean, some of the richest milk you could possibly get.
Right.
And it just gets better from there.
A variety of flavors.
And a variety of flavors, of which the garlic I am not allowed to have.
Oh, you got to have the garlic, but maple smoked and the sage and different varieties of cheese, a Grafton Cheese Company. Well, the four columns in, the telephone number, 1-800-787-6633, and we'll be talking more about Southern Vermont on the Travel World Radio Show on the Liberty Works Radio Network, and the telephone number to call for information on Southern Vermont, 1-877-SO-VERMONT.
So keep on rocking me, baby.
You're listening to Travel World with Willem and Steve.
Stay listening.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
Liberty Works Radio Network. Travel World Radio Show via satellite.
Harry and I make great partners behind the wheel, as well as at home.
Together, Norma and I have driven nearly 3 million accident-free miles.
We travel all over the country, from coast to coast. Needless to say, we've seen just about everything.
Including some things we wish we hadn't.
Harry and Norma Vogel, professional truck drivers and captains of America's Road Team, with some tips to avoid driving tired.
We see vehicles drifting out of their lane, and sometimes clear off the road.
Too often, the results are senseless crashes caused by drivers who fell asleep at the wheel.
Like many other families, we drive as a team, so one of us sleeps while the other drives.
We're careful to allow enough rest time, and whoever is driving will wake the other up at least half an hour before we switch driving.
That way, the relief driver has a chance to shake that drowsy feeling before getting behind the wheel.
Or if we're both fatigued, we stop and rest. No deadline is worth losing your life.
Or someone else's.
A wake-up call to all drivers from the American Trucking Associations and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Do you have trouble remembering things lately? Normally, there are a major amount of fat cells in your head, causing difficulty in oxygen reaching your brain. As we age, this condition worsens, causing memory loss, dementia, and worse. Memory loss is not random, accidental, or inevitable. It is reversible if treated properly. The all-natural, safe Ultra Memory is a result of research conducted at Harvard and leading universities. Studies show that the herb ginkgo can dramatically slow the effects of aging on memory and even improve memory function in healthy young people as well. Ultra Memory contains ginkgo in easy-to-take capsule form. Ultra Memory will help you live a full, functioning life. Find out why leading researchers call Ultra Memory Brain Tonic. To try Ultra Memory risk-free, call 1-800-952-3494. Call now and save an additional 20%. 1-800-952-3494. That's 1-800-952-3494.
Language is destiny. Every time you speak, read, or write, you expose the limits of your language. The words you think influence your actions. The words you use are always judged. The words you understand reveal what you know and what you don't know. Now with the Vocabulary Dynamics program, you can take charge of your verbal destiny. Easily master a world-class vocabulary, exude confidence and command of the English language, and expand your understanding of thousands of new words. And all you have to do is just listen. Developed by Scott Bornstein, international expert in language learning, memory know-how, and test preparation, Vocabulary Dynamics will unlock your genius for language and word use so you'll never be at a loss for words again. If you call now, Scott will drop the price by almost 40%. Call 1-888-813-7974 toll-free right now. 1-888-813-7974 for the Vocabulary Dynamics Program. 1-888-813-7974.
The real tragedy for the moderner is that politics has been divorced from ethics and has been separated from philosophy.
The Zoe Show.
Celebrate the truth. Really, the issue that brought me to talk radio as a full-time broadcast is the notion of national sovereignty, the right of citizens to participate in the destiny of their nations and therefore the quality and style of life that they, their children, and
the Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show.
Is that if they can deem you mentally unfit because you have road rage or you have an aversion to homosexuals, you could be labeled mentally unfit.
Get next year's news today and today's news a different way.
The Zoe Show.
Behind the scenes and very much actually out. Power brokers, power makers, power conscribers. Power. What are the indicators you look at within our own nation to say, you know, it's not going to be so fine?
The Zoe Show.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern.
Folks, the cat's out of the bag. It's over. Game's up.
The devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside. Devil inside. Devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside.
It was a toss-up between this and, of course, the suicide bomb for Bonnie.
But the devil Inside kind of coincides with the story of the Hetty Green Motel in Bellows Falls, Vermont.
The haunted motel of Bellows Falls. And who better to talk about strange mysteries and strange happenings and perhaps even the paranormal out in Bellows Falls, Vermont, just north of Brattleboro, than the legendary mystery writer Archer Mayer. Welcome to Travel World.
Well, thanks for having me on. You have very poor taste, but I appreciate being invited.
You've written a whole series of books centered on southern Vermont and the eccentricities and the characters making their lives
murder,
in this part of the world.
Murder and mayhem, floating bodies, all the stuff Vermonters really don't want to hear about.
Yeah.
They're trying to cover it up. It's multiple conspiracy.
Yeah, conspiracy. Yeah.
It exists everywhere.
Yeah, exactly right. That's why I'm not a big hit at the Chamber of Commerce meetings.
Don't talk about
That's right. Don't talk about your Vermont.
By
talk
the
about
way,
your Brattleboro.
What exactly is that hidden door?
That thing dangling from it.
I don't know. Every time we mention the Hetty Green Motel, people just quickly change the subject.
As well they should. You guys have been pumping me for 20 minutes about the Hetty Green Motel. You think I'm going to tell you?
No, it's one of those hidden mysteries. You have to come to Southern Vermont.
Yeah, exactly right.
You call 1-877-SO-VERMONT.
That's right. Come on by. You too can be mystified.
www.sovermont.com and find out all the information.
Oh, yeah.
Or not.
So that's what makes coming to Southern Vermont. It's not a mystery how to get here.
It's not a mystery how to get here, but I'll tell you one thing. People ask me, I've written, I don't know, I'm researching now my 11th book.
Why?
Maybe 12th, who knows? Who's counting? But I've been at it for a long time, and I'm not even close to running out of ideas. I barely scratched the surface.
And today we just gave him about a dozen more.
Yeah, that's true. I don't footnote either, guy, so you lose. Yeah. It all looks like me in the end.
No acknowledgement. Boy, that story about how they...
The hidden gold and what really happened to the West River Railroad.
How they drug people with the maple syrup, turn them into zombies. I don't know.
My lips are sealed.
Test these samples of maple syrup and don't drink the Kool-Aid first.
Now you know why they call it Vermont soul food.
Yes. All the lost souls in the winter. We actually were getting a little bit worried when Carl from the Adams Family Farm says, well, if a person dies out here in the winter, we don't know what to do with them till spring.
That's true. You know those cemeteries? You know those little sort of built-in little rock things that looks like supposed to hold shovels and such?
No, there's another more sinister reason.
And a little more frozen stuff in there than shovels.
Yes, sir.
Other things
who wants to spend the extra money on a caterpillar tractor and small explosives after
frozen
all to dig a hole,
means,
you know?
Frozen stiff means something totally different up here.
Yeah, that's a whole new meaning.
Oh, my goodness.
And come springtime, guess who's busy?
Yeah. Oh, yes. The people investigating the disappearance of their friends. Oh, my. We're having a good time.
Having a good time here in Brattleboro in southern Vermont. Also, talking about Bellows Falls, we have Robert McBride representing the Bellows Falls Rockingham County Arts Community and how they're turning Bellows Falls.
Thanks for coming on the air with us.
Archer, it was a pleasure to meet you and looking forward to reading all about Bellows Falls in your novel.
Well, hope you enjoy the read.
We certainly will.
And Robert McBride from Bellows Falls, actually another transplanted New Yorker. Everyone from New York getting away from the rat race, coming to southern Vermont to...
Well, they should. It's a beautiful area.
Rejuvenate themselves. Talking about rejuvenation in springtime, it's the central theme. And a city that has rejuvenated itself. I remember 1966, we drove through Bellows Falls, and there was nothing. It was a depressed community. And today, downtown is vibrant, it is booming, and the arts community is moving in.
Yep. The arts have made a kind of a major impact on revitalizing our downtown. I think we share a lot of the themes with Brattleboro. There's one theme that goes up and down the Connecticut River because it was such an industrial base back in the late 1700s to the 1800s. And I think one of the key is to keeping the communities on the same page. We work together with Brattleboro, with the communities north and south. And the railroad themes that run through these have been big help. But the arts in particular have, if any community does not have artists or artisans, it's basically just not a vital community. And I think rather than even having to import these people, when you look in your community, they are around, and if you can bring them together, it creates a lot of energy.
They are among us.
And let their skills come to the forefront. These are people living now downtown Bellows Falls, so that creates a market for shops, for restaurants, and it makes it a reason for people to come downtown, park their car, walk, and shop.
Absolutely. I mean, a downtown is not going to be vital if people are not living in it, and you don't want to drive through it at night and see all the lights off. So when people are out on the street walking around and they happen to be the residents, it's really terrific.
Well, we had been in Bellows Falls for the Green Mountain Flyer, and some people just pull off the road, take the train trip, and that's it. They owe to themselves, spend a few hours, explore those little shops, see what the artists are up to in Bellows Falls.
Yeah. You made a good point also while we were down. We have to be big fans of railroading, and we waited by the train station to also watch the Amtrak pull through. But it's that nice appeal, the fact, you know, we're right on the border with New Hampshire, and how Vermont is, you know, farms and greenery and what have you, but there's a certain grit to Bellows Falls that is just so nice. What an appeal to the city that I enjoyed, too.
Yeah, it was that initial grit that actually hooked me, and I came up in 1982 for a community dinner party, had never been to Vermont, and ended up buying a house because of that grit that you can feel about it and the architecture that comes with it.
These are real people and a real community and a history to that community.
Right. What's also interesting about Bellows Falls is that it's a village of 3,300 people, which probably makes it one of the 15 largest villages in Vermont. Vermont is a very rural state. And Brattleboro, with maybe 12,000, is a much bigger city by comparison, so it's a really great proportion.
Still, Brattleboro and Bellows Falls, both of them being on the Connecticut River, you have that beautiful view overlooking the river itself. Here in Brattleboro, they're planning to put a river walk, or they want to. It's the dream here to do that. And you still have the same thing over in Bellows Falls where you can walk alongside and still see it. Your own office overlooks the canal.
Exactly. What's also very interesting about the river is industrial development of it over the years. It was where people didn't want to live, and because everything got dumped into your rivers. But now it's where we really want to encourage people to be and to enjoy that.
You walk down by the Connecticut River in Bellows Falls, the rushing waters, and of course that's the first canal in the United States, 1802, and you went to Bellows Falls. It's one of those trivia questions. One day they're going to ask that on television. I know Bellows Falls, first canal, 1802.
Yep.
And it's still an active canal, still active power generation.
Yep. I don't know if I can just put in, if anyone needs more information about it, they can check out a site that's Bellows Falls VT, all one word, .intranets, I-N-T-R-A-N-E-T-S, .com. You get listings of events and connect to all the other web pages that explore our area.
The history of downtown Bellows Falls, there's some great pictures of petroglyphs along the river and museums, historical buildings. Just spend a few hours to go back to the turn of the century when Bellows Falls had one of the richest communities in the United States during that era, and railroads are building it up. And you know, Bellows Falls has come a long way. And as we come up to the top of the hour here on Travel World, Southern Vermont is our destination profile this week and our annual trip in the month of April to explore more of New England. The telephone number, again, 1-877-SO-VERMONT, www.sovermont.com. for all the information on Southern Vermont and the links to the different chambers of commerce serving the Connecticut River Valley.
We also want to issue a great big round of applause and a thank you to Lynn Barrett for doing such a great job representing the area and helping put together this entire journey for us.
Oh, yes, a great overview and met some really interesting people, great food, and the Latchis Hotel downtown Brattleboro for the Art Deco feel. Small town hotel going back 60 plus years.
If nothing else, you can come here for the food, because the food around here is unbelievably great.
Oh, I could say that again. I never had a bad meal in Vermont.
That's right, not once.
This afternoon off
they're working on it, but not once.
This afternoon off to check out the West River Railroad with Bob Immler. We'll be talking about that next week, as well as Why I Hate Flying, Tales for the Tormented Traveler, management professional Professor Henry Mintzberg, and as well, longtime flight attendant Renee Maurizio and her book, Perfect Attendance. She's going to, one of the things in her book, How to Join the Mile High Club. So you'll want to tune in next Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern, for the Travel World Radio Show right here on the Liberty Works Radio Network. I'm Stephen Pickford.
I'm Willem Backus.
And I'm Robert McBride.
Join us again next week on Travel World, and we are still in love with Bonnie.